I'm coming from Windsor, Connecticut, and I just want to share a little bit what the Lord's quickening to me today, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day in autumn approaching the winter, Lord, and we just ask your blessing would be on this word, that your encouragement would be for those who are deeply in need of it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I recently had a situation where someone was pouring out their heart to me about a situation that just looked absolutely and incredibly impossible, looked like they were on the bad end of things and that there was no way that they'd be able to overcome what an enemy had done to them and was in the process of doing. There'd be no way of reversal of this situation. And when I speak of the enemy, obviously the enemy was working through flesh, but we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There's always a spiritual root and a spiritual force behind anyone's bad behavior. And we have to very carefully consider that, because we can't really demonstrate the love of God as we're commanded to do. We can't really demonstrate love for our enemies except for we understand that concept. But the longer this person talked of their very negative situation, where they were very much a victim and being victimized with no real hope in sight, the longer they talked, the more it was within my spirit to just want to say something. But the person went on and on and on, and it took a while before they made a break in their speech, in their dissertation, their diatribe, or whatever you want to call it, before I could say something. And I will use a fake name just so as not to uncover the person. The person is not Tom, but I'll use the name Tom. And I said to him, "Tom, you know, that's really a very serious situation, and my heart really goes out to you, but you have one thing that they don't have, or it's not apparent that they have it. It looks like in every way that they don't have it, but you have a relationship with the Lord." And maybe this is a bad way to present something about God, but I said, "Tom, God is your ace in the hole. You have the Lord. You have God on your side. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, tell me, what would we do? Where would we be?" And today, as I was reading my Bible, and I'm in the book of James now, and I came to James 5, verse 7, and as usual when I read this verse, I had a bubbling forth of life and hope, and this is just one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, and I want to just kind of focus on this as a word of encouragement for you today. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And I thank the Lord for all that means, this scripture means to us in relationship to the great and notable day of the Lord, where God will split the sky and we'll hear trumpets, and the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, and he'll split the clouds, and he'll gather out of all the nations those who've loved him and who serve him. And I look forward to that great day. But every time we have a meeting with the Lord, every time God manifests himself in a situation, we can say that is a coming of the Lord, not the coming of the Lord, but that is a coming of the Lord to us. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until God comes into your situation." Be patient, sister, until the Lord comes into your situation. Now, without going back into a lot of notes, old notes, but when I was doing years ago, I was doing a Bible study, which I shared in a home meeting on the fruits of the Spirit. And we know patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I tell you, my heart was filled with such joy when I discovered the real word, the real true meaning of this word patience. It means that we have a spirit of endurance, but we don't only have a spirit of endurance, but we have a spirit of endurance with hope and joy. Our endurance, our patience is with joy. Our patience is not like, oh, with a dread and a fear and I'm tired of waiting. It is with a sense of hope and joy. With hope and joy, brethren, wait for the coming of the Lord. We have to wait in a spirit of hope and joy. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Now, the husbandman is another word for a farmer or a vine dresser. And when I looked at that, I thought, that's interesting. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Well, what's the early and the latter rain? Well, we know that the early and the latter rain is a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is compared to rain. But let's just get into the natural mind for a minute and consider that this rain, this early and this latter rain, is speaking of the spring rains and the autumn rains. And he's waiting in hope. The farmer is waiting in hope to see those rains, to see the coming of the rain, the spring rains and the autumn rains. And that is the pinnacle of his, the process he's in of seeing a harvest. It's like those rains are at the top of his hope level. And why is that? It's because when those rains come, he knows, he is assured that there will be a harvest. No rain, no harvest. You don't see a harvest until after you've seen the rains. And if you go into studying about early rains and latter rains, you'll see where the different rains affect different crops or the process of crops growing. But before we receive those rains of hope, what has to happen? Before we see those rains come down and water the seed, what has to happen? The seed needs to be planted. And what I would have said to my friend Tom is I would have said to him, during this time when things feel so negative and so cold and so dead and so hopeless, this is the time to be sowing so that when those rains come, there's something to water. There's a seed to water that will eventually be the harvest. And what is the seed that you're sowing? The seed that you're sowing is not throwing money at a situation, but it is in your attitude and your spirit toward your trial, toward that obstacle, toward that thing which seems so impossible that you just won't be able to overcome it. You see no end in sight, but you've got to get a mindset and a heart set that you know God is true to his word. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And it does not matter what the circumstances look like or the situation looks like. You believe God. You believe the Lord. You believe that you are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. You are the one. You're the one who loves the Lord. You're the one who goes to bed reading your Bible every night. You're the one who wakes up praising the Lord and thanking him for his goodness. You're the one who spends time in prayer. You're the one who is seeking that the Lord, when he's looking to and fro from throughout the earth, trying to find someone whose heart is perfect before him, you're that person. You're that person. And that is like your seeds being sown. And it doesn't matter what the enemy's going through or putting you through. Now, I personally believe that anyone, not everybody has trials. And it's because not everybody has the same calling. Not everyone has the same level of calling. You know, there's that saying, higher levels, lower devils, or something like that. Or the more opposition you have, the greater your calling or your ministry is going to be. But you're going to be proven. And in another spot, I think it may be in Timothy, it talks about how the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. And that simply means before you can expect anyone else to go through things or have the victories that you have to have them for yourself. And so here you are. You're the husbandman. You're the farmer. You're waiting. You're waiting for certain answers. You're waiting patiently with joy, with hope. You are waiting for that crop. And the thing that's going to encourage you is when you see the rains, when you see the rains coming. And those rains, of course, can be comparable to the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit coming into a situation, the manifestation of his presence. You know, when you get into the place of his presence and his glory, and you feel the rains descending upon you, you can have hope for anything. You can believe God for anything. And in the natural, nothing may be different. Nothing can be changed. But what's different is you. What's changed is you. And so you want to sow towards that. You want to sow towards inviting the Lord. You want to sow towards seeing those encouraging rains. But you got to sow those seeds. You can't keep talking. Don't keep shooting yourself in the foot with words of constant negativity and words cursing your situation and words especially cursing other people who don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know the Lord. They weren't raised maybe like you were. They didn't hear his name in their home. They didn't hear the sound of the gospel. They didn't hear worship and praise and singing. You cannot expect worldly people to act like godly people because they never will. It's hard enough at times for Christians to act like Christians. So be patient, therefore, brethren, until God comes into your situation. Be joyful. Wait, have that spirit of endurance, that spirit of waiting. Lord, I speak upon your people a spirit of waiting with patience, which means with endurance that has hope and joy in it. I never cared for the gift of patience or the fruit of patience because I read that scripture that tribulation worketh patience. And I thought, oh Lord, in order to get patience, I've got to go through tribulation, and I feel like I have enough of that, so I'm certainly not going to pray for any more patience. But then I realized that in that crucible of tribulation, I can tap into the joy of the Lord. When I wake up in the morning and I feel overwhelmed by circumstances, by negative things that might be around me, by housework that I haven't gotten done yet, by projects that just seem looming, just by any dealings and conflicts, anything like that, and my mind wants to go there, I snap myself to order and I say, thank you, Jesus, another beautiful day, another day to prove how wonderful you are, Lord, another day to be thankful, to appreciate your grace, because I've received so much of it. I've received abundance of it, and there's no way the enemy is going to sit on my day and put me into complaining and whining mode, because I know God is coming. I know because of the word of the Lord that God is coming to my house. He's coming to my situation, everything that pertains to me, everything that pertains to his promises. I'm going to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. And not only am I going to be patient unto the coming of the Lord, that spirit of patience is the spirit that sows hope and life into my situation. The Lord sees that. His eye is on me when I'm having the right spirit, which is the patient spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come. His presence will come into my home. The dove, I often think about this, the dove of the Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. He's easily offended. The Bible says that he's a dove and the dove is easily offended. I don't want to do anything that's going to drive the dove away. I want his Holy Spirit here. I want him coming as a dove. I want him coming as a rain. I want him as the dew early in the morning. So I'm going to focus. And I don't mean to put so much emphasis on I. This is sounding like a way too much I word, but I'm just trying to convey to you that you don't have to keep your heart and your mind in that place where you feel despair and discouragement. There's a higher order of life for you. There's something higher for you than scratching around with the chickens. You can fly high above it all. Doesn't matter who's doing what to you. You have the Lord on your side. God is on your side. God is on your side. Get your mind on the things that will give you hope, the things the Lord has promised. Your enemies, especially if they do not know the Lord, maybe somebody you work with, maybe somebody in a custodial situation, whatever it may be, if they don't have a relationship with the Lord, then you really are at an advantage. Now, if it's a brother or a sister in the Lord, you got to pray that God breaks the spirit of discord, because he hates that. He hates discord. And in a situation, sometimes it's people are misunderstanding situations and seeing things from different perspectives. And when you're seeing things from different perspectives, it's maybe half, how do you say it? Half a dozen, six of one, half a dozen, whatever. It may be just different, seeing things from different perspectives, and you both could be a little bit right and a little bit wrong, but whatever. The bottom line is you got to pray against that spirit of discord, because that never pleases the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why you might as well not even bother praying or asking the Lord for anything until you've made it right one with another. Now, if it's a one-sided thing where you've got a whole lot of imagination or thoughts about how somebody is doing you wrong or treating you wrong, oftentimes the second person is oblivious, because you're just not as much on their mind as they are on your mind. So be careful before you go exposing a lot of stuff with someone that may not even be the least bit troubled at you. Maybe sometimes the best thing, the wise thing to do, is go to a pastor or a trusted counselor in the body of Christ to have them pray with you before you approach anyone. But the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and that fruit that's coming after the Holy Spirit, after you've sown, the results are going to be precious. Any resolution will be precious. Any, what does the Bible say? The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. So when God's answers come, they're precious. When his fruit comes, it's precious. His fruit resolves all the ills and all the bads. Just like the Bible says that if we have love, if we have that fruit of love in our life, the spirit of love, and the fruits of the spirit, there's no law against them. It's all good. There's no law against the fruit of the spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be ye also patient. Here he is reiterating it again. Have the spirit of endurance with hope and with joy. If you don't have it, ask the Lord for it. Somewhere else in this book of James, if you read the whole book, you find out that when you're asking according to the will of the Lord, you can depend on answers from God. If you're not asking fleshly prayers to consume upon your own lusts, but if you're praying the will of the Lord, God is more than delighted. He wants to give wisdom, and he wants to give patience. He will give you wisdom. He'll give you patience. Be ye also patient. Be patient, not do patience. Be patient. Be of a spirit that endures. Be of a spirit that has hope. Be of a spirit that has joy. Let it be the essence of you. Let it be the essence of your personality. That when you come, people come into your presence, they feel relaxed, they feel good, they feel uplifted, they feel encouraged just by what's coming out of you, what's emanating from you. Be ye patient. Establish your hearts. Get yourself rooted and grounded in this type of attitude and spirit. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, that can, I see that in two ways. That can mean we're on our guard because we're waiting for his coming. We're like the five wise virgins, not the five foolish virgins. We want to have our lamps trimmed, our oil, lamps trimmed with oil, and they're burning. We want to be in that mode of we're on guard, we're watching our spirit, we're watching our attitude, we're watching our words. We've got something always checking us, and knowing that our inward man is ever before the throne of God and he's seeing us. We are, think of yourself as always in review before the Lord. When you have thoughts come into your mind, think, is this something that if the Lord was sitting down inside my head, that he'd be happy, that he'd smell a sweet savor by my thoughts, or would he be grossed out and just want to get out of there? Would the Holy Spirit want to flee? Or is he pleased with my thought life? Is he pleased with my inner life? We're establishing our hearts. We're establishing our hearts with attitudes that would please him. If we're conniving or thinking how we're going to get back at our enemies, that's depending on the flesh to fix your own problems. That's depending on ourselves. We cannot accomplish anything. But when you establish your heart toward the Lord and you establish your mind with a heart and a mind to please him and to trust him, to trust the Lord, you're going to see results. May take a while, may take some time, but I have a feeling that the quicker we get our minds and our thought life established in him, and the quicker we get that attitude and that heart of patience in the midst of our trials, the quicker we're going to see the answers from the Lord. We're going to see turn. We're going to see the rain that gives us hope to believe for the promises of God. We're going to have that Holy Spirit come. Not just empty words, not just dead letter, but the Spirit that quickeneth and quickens us and gives us life. To whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And when the rains come, when the rain comes, it's not only that you have hope because you believe a lot of scriptures, but it's that they come to life. They come to life within your being. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Probably one of the best prayers that was ever prayed over me in my life was when a man of God prayed that the Lord would give me the spirit of waiting. The spirit of waiting just makes you feel at peace and settled in the promises of God. It drives away anxiety. It drives away that feeling of impatience and anxiety. I can't think of another word for it. There's probably lots of them. I'd have to go into a thesaurus. But just that irritation, that agitation drives it all out of your spirit. And you don't feel fearful that the bad outcome will happen before the good outcome gets a chance to even show up. The enemy can only go so far and no further. Let's just read a little further. I was only going to read 7 and 8, but now that I'm looking at my Bible bright on my screen, I'm using Bible Gateway right now, I feel like it really ties in together. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the Lord, before the door. And that just goes right back to what I was saying, that we've got to break that spirit of discord. Do not allow discord in your heart. Do not be sowing discord with plots and plans and schemes and attitudes. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. And you don't want condemnation to come, because condemnation and the presence of the Lord and the reign of God, they just won't operate in the same vessel. When you're feeling condemnation, the lights are out and you can't see until that condemnation is gone. That's ruling. You can't really see the blessing of the Lord or feel the rain. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And there again, that's like we are in review. We're constantly in review as Christians. And yes, the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and washed us whiter than snow from all our sins and iniquities, past, present, and future. But if we want a relationship with the Lord, if we want to be in fellowship with God, if we want a real place in the kingdom, if we want rewards when the time comes, when God gives out the rewards, we don't work for our salvation, but we do guard our lives and work towards the rewards. That's where the work comes in. It's towards the rewards. You don't get rewarded for doing nothing. You don't get the trophy like they do in sports nowadays with the little kids. You get a trophy just for showing up. No, what you get for the blood of Jesus is the blessing of the Lord to get you, and the cross of Jesus Christ gets you into heaven, and it keeps you out of hell, gets you into heaven. But once you get to heaven, you're not automatically crowned and given jewels and given 1,000 bricks for your beautiful mansion. No, the reward of the Lord is with them that fear him. Thank you, Jesus. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. God has given us a whole Bible. We can read these stories, and they're inspirational. I've been reading lately the life of Daniel, and I'm reading the book of Daniel, and I need to get something to help me to really understand it. But just reading about the patience and the things that he went through, the things that the three Hebrew children went through, it's like I've been getting into the story as if I was there, and feeling the expanse of the situation. When we read, we just see verse after verse after verse, and we don't feel the times. We don't feel the times, but, you know, they're day by day, day by day, day by day, and then how the Lord rewarded them. Behold, we can count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Now there's a story for you. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. There's a psalm that says we hope in his mercy. Whatever you're going through, whatever your trial is, get this James 5:7 mindset that you're going to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. You're going to wait for the precious fruit of the earth. You're going to wait till the Holy Spirit shows up, because he will. If during the time when things just seem so hopeless, if you take upon you the attitude that I will have hope in God, I will joyfully endure this trial, I will ask the Lord for a spirit of waiting, that is your seed sown into the situation. The Holy Spirit will come, the rains will come, the encouraging prophetic word, rhema word that you can stand on with every fiber of your being will come, and you're going to see the fruit of your prayers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we'll just end right there. I think I'm going to add a song on the website that's going through my heart as I've been speaking this word to encourage you. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, God, that in you we do have hope. In you we do have joy. We have peace, Lord. As we spend time with you, Lord God, we abide in the vine, Lord God. We cannot, except we abide in you, Lord, we won't see any fruit, Lord God. But as we're abiding, Lord, abiding in that vine, Lord, and Father, waiting, Lord, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, Lord, waiting for to receive the early and the latter rain, Lord, we anticipate your coming. We anticipate the confirming rains, Lord God, where we're weary, Lord, and where we're just getting tired of the battle, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' name, we believe that you're coming, Lord, and we break every spirit of discord, Lord, between members in the body of Christ, which there are many, Lord. We break the spirit of discord, Lord. We ask you to lay the axe to the root of the tree. Lord, we ask you to realize the preciousness of fellowship and friendship in the body of Christ. Lord God, that those things are not going to hinder, Lord, your purposes, Lord, your big purposes, and Lord, your little purposes, Lord, that they will not be hindered. Father, in Jesus' name, now, Lord God, I pray that if anybody under the sound of my voice is hearing this, Lord, and they want you to be on their side, Lord Jesus, that they will know that that begins, Lord God, with surrendering their lives to you, Lord God. Father God, you are always the champion and the advocate for your children, Lord. We have an advocate, Father, with the Father, Lord Jesus, and it's you, Lord God, in every trouble and every trial, Lord God. Father, when we make mistakes and sin and grieve you, Lord God, we have an advocate with the Father, Lord Jesus. And Father, when people are coming against us, Lord, we have an advocate with the Father, Lord. God, you said that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that will rise against you in judgment, that you would condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And God, we know that you're on our side, Lord God, when troubles come, Lord Jesus. And Father, but God, we pray, Lord God, for our enemies, Lord God, especially those who are not of the faith, Lord, that they'll come to faith in Jesus Christ, Lord God, because when an enemy becomes our friend, Lord God, that solves so many problems right there, Lord Jesus. Lord, you see those who are in legal conflicts and battles, custodial conflicts, Lord God. Father, pressure of unpaid bills and finances, Lord, all these things, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I ask you for resolution by your Spirit, Lord God. But Lord, we know that, God, we need to sow, Lord. We need to sow with our attitude. We need to sow, Lord God, from the depths of our being. We need to establish our hearts, Lord, in the right spirit before you, Lord, because you have us in review. Let us never forget, Lord God. You're always beholding us, Lord. Lord, your eyes are always looking through to and fro throughout the earth to see those whose hearts are perfect toward you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, Father God, I just pray for those especially who do not know you. And if you're listening and you don't know the Lord, but you want to know him, I want you to read the books of Mark and the book of Peter. Those are good places to start. But right now I'm going to pray a prayer as if I am one who has, I'm just meeting the Lord. I'm just coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his saving grace for the first time. You listen to my prayer. And then sometime during the course of this day, don't let yourself go to bed tonight with finding yourself a little private, secret place and praying to the Lord. And then I would also encourage you to find a Bible-believing church where they preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and get yourself into fellowship and under a man of God who can teach you the first principles of the faith. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I come to you, Father God. I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that because of the human race being plunged into sin by the sins of the original man and woman, Adam and Eve, Lord, that I'm a sinner and I'm under that curse that they were under, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, that you would come into my heart, Lord, that you would wash me clean by your blood. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that as I pray, Lord God, and as I confess, Lord, that you are the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm believing in my heart that, Father, truly I am being saved right now. I am being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for washing me whiter than snow. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that this means I have a home in heaven and that I will live forever in your presence and in the presence of your holy angels. So I thank you this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And I encourage you, if you look, you're doing this on the website, there's a little presentation on the website. That if you click on where it says, "Do you know Jesus?" If you click on that, that will explain just the initial plan of salvation a little bit better. And I pray that you'll look at that. And I just bless you in the name of the Lord this day. And I just thank God for his goodness to us, that we, in our trial and our trouble, we have someone to turn to. What a wonderful life this is. What a wonderful life we have because of Jesus. Amen and amen.